Please join me in a prayer. Gracious God, bless us on this night as we gather, as we become a searching people, searching for the life that is all around us. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So on this night, we're called to go on pilgrimage. We're called to go on a journey. Not only a journey over time, a journey that goes over places, but it's a journey of our heart. A journey from our heart to God's heart to consider how we're a part of all creation. One fundamental belief that I hold on to in the darkest of nights is that the world isn't dark. The world is God's light. That in the beginning there was God, and then there was light, and then this darkness, this chaos kind of creeped into the world. I believe that God is light fundamentally, but it gets hidden all the time. It gets hidden all the time. It's like, baby Jesus, where did baby Jesus go to? Baby Jesus is somewhere out there. I'm not sure exactly where baby Jesus is. Well, maybe I do know, but we're going to have to look for baby Jesus. But there's a lot of stuff that gets in the way of our ability, and maybe it's not even our ability, but the gift, the grace to be able to discern Christ's presence in our life. Many of you who are with us on a weekly basis know that I love to sing. I'm not a great singer, but I like to think I can sing a little bit and carry a tune. But there are certain songs that kind of teach us about this journey that we're on. And one of the journeys is that there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of institutions out there, big government, empires, who try to tell us that, oh, it's always been like this. This is the way things have always been. And there's certain music that gets into our blood that teaches us. It's prophecy. It's like Isaiah, Deborah, Isaiah, these great prophets of all time. Their songs, their visions, they teach us, no, that's not the way it has to be. And some of it can be a little kind of sarcastic. The Beatles. We all love the Beatles, right? And I love the Beatles when I was a little kid. You know, some of the songs were so happy and joyful. But as I've gotten older, one thing I've realized is that the Beatles really didn't get good. They didn't get truly authentic until they got a little political. Do you know what their first really political song was? Anybody know? Shout it out if you know it. Taxman. Taxman, right? Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small, be thankful that I don't take it all. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Sing it now. Yeah, I'm the tax man. If you drive a car, I'll tax the street. If you try to sit, I'll take your seat. If you get too cold, I'll tax the heat. If you take a walk, I'll tax your feet. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Everybody now. Yeah, I'm the tax man. And what I love about that song is it's so happy, right? But it's talking about something that's really awful, isn't it? Talking about exploitation. Exploitation. Now, tonight's not going to be about big government or small government or any of that kind of stuff. We really do want to move beyond that, transcend that. But what I can say is that the life of God really shouldn't be at the edges of our life, in the dark places of our life, only at times of fear and trembling. No, Christ God is really at the center of our lives. But so often it just gets removed to these edge points. And I believe that even when we have doubts, and those of you who have lived longer than I have can preach it more than I can. Man, we have more faith within our doubts than we do when we just completely believe. I believe that those people who live authentically and they can honestly say, hey, I got a lot of doubts, that's when you're most faithful. That's when the prophets were most faithful, when they were surrounded in the darkness of doubts and then they clung to the light. And that's what we're called to do on this day, side by side, pew to pew with each other, cling to God's hope. But we gotta make sure that Christ is at the center of our lives. I want everybody to picture for one moment how you envision the manger scene. How do you picture the nativity? If you're like me, I have an image of my mind of a kind of setup that my mom made. My mom loves to do arts and crafts, and so she made this manger scene when I was a kid. If it was on that window, if it was on a kind of windowsill, you'd have like the barn kind of in back, you'd have the angels behind it, you'd have Mary and Joseph kind of in the back of one of the stalls, right, and having the baby. Well, how many people have that kind of image? Is that kind of like what your image is like a little bit? Yeah, that's what I've had most of my life. Well, interestingly, I mean, who knows exactly what it looked like. Maybe that's not even the point. The fact that you're imagining it is really the point, stretching yourself. But as we look back, archaeologists look back, you know what mangers actually kind of look like? Mangers look like more of a square. And you had the stalls on the outside. You might have had inns up top, the rooms for people up top. And you had animal stalls down below. No doors. The animals were in there. But there's no room in the inn, so where did they put this baby Jesus? They put him in basically the feeding trough. Jesus was put, not in a creche, Jesus was put into a feeding trough. And the feeding trough wasn't at the edges, it was right in the middle. It was a big, huge feeding trough, I bet. And Jesus was placed in the middle because there was no place in for him. No place else for him. So, and interesting, as we think about the poetry of the Gospels and we think about Jesus' story, what is Jesus most happy about, most delighted to do? He's so delighted to bring people to a table and open the table for everybody. Everybody's welcome to my table. Well, that was because from the beginning, he knew the importance of the feeding trough, right? Maybe not in those kind of animalistic terms, but really, it's all about food and gathering together. So anyway, on this night, we got a challenge. How many? We got a lot of children here today. Got a lot of children today. So kids, and there's some kids in the back. We gotta go searching for baby Jesus. Okay? Can you help me out here? Okay. So all the kids kind of come into the middle here. We gotta walk around. And what we gotta do in any of our journeys, as we go around, we gotta ask people, and we can just have fun with this. You say, have you seen baby Jesus? Have you guys seen baby Jesus? Have you seen baby Jesus? So kids, you gotta ask everybody. You know what we can do in church? We gotta wash the candles. We can run in church. Let's run. We gotta run. Come on. And then stop. Have you seen baby Jesus? Oh my gosh. Have you seen baby Jesus? We gotta run. Come on, let's run. Have you seen baby Jesus? Come on, let's run. We gotta run, guys. Come on. Have you seen baby Jesus? Dude, where is baby Jesus? Jesus isn't at the center. We got to get baby Jesus to the center. Oh boy, where could baby Jesus be? Is there anybody in the balcony? Is baby Jesus up in the balcony? Nobody's up in the balcony. Wow. Okay. Well, you know where baby Jesus is most of the time? Baby Jesus, I think, is around music. So I think we should go search in this pew over here. Can anybody go back over here and see? Maybe baby Jesus is back here. Can we squeeze? Can somebody go in? I wonder.
I think he's over here.
Could Jesus be a? Can somebody look back there? Maybe. You go look, and make sure you hit those organ pads really hard too, so we get some good song going here, Mari Claire. Come on, let's hear some noise out of those foot pads. Yeah. Let's see. Maybe look under that brown thing. What's the brown case over there? What's over there? What's over there? Keep on going forward. Look at the brown cover thing. What's under there? What do you think, guys? Uh-oh. Is he not there? Did somebody move? You found him! All right, let's hear a big clap. Yeah! Woo! Okay. You hand him to this kid. And we gotta go put him in the crush. Can you guys actually go put him in the crush?
I also found a pen.
You also found a pen? We gotta write about this. This is great news. Okay, let's all go up to the crush now. Let's go up to the feeding trough. It's funny thinking about that. So let's all go walk up. We go up the steps. And walking up steps, it's like a procession, right? This is fun. And so we need to make sure that we make a nice cozy bed. Look at these great leaves. It's soft.
I'll give him a pen.
Give him a pen. Jesus was a prophet, so he liked pens. Let's put the baby right in there. Let's put him down there. Okay. All right. So, and what do you do? What do your parents do with you perhaps sometimes? You can sing sometimes, but I think one of the things that's great to do, if you don't do it, it's a good thing to start, is just doing a prayer right before you go to sleep. So let's do a prayer right now, all of us, and the whole congregation, let's bow our heads and say a prayer. Oh, gracious God, we give you thanks that you've brought to us a little baby, a vulnerable life, And for that we give thanks. Each of us is a child of God. Each of us is on a journey to discover the wonders of this world and the wonders of our gifts. Amen and amen.